chapter number 12. Matthew chapter 12. Go to verse number 33. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 33. Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us. I pray that we would listen to you. I pray that we would listen to your word and make sure that we are speaking rightly at all times for your honor and glory. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. It has been estimated that from the first good morning to the last good night, the average person engages in about 30 conversations a day. Each day, his words could make a book of about 50 to 60 pages. That would be more than 100 books a year of more than 200 pages each. Some of us would write a whole lot more. Some of us would write a whole lot less. But we're all engaged in speaking. Jesus had just rebuked the Pharisees for their blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And now he begins to speak on the importance of the tongue, on the importance of words and its relationship to our hearts. How our tongue and our heart is connected. So number one, the word picture. The word picture. He says in verse number 33 here, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit, by its fruit. Now, this is an obvious truth. A tree and its fruit correspond. Does that make sense? If you have an apple tree, what kind of fruit you can have? Apples. Okay, the kind of tree is known by its fruit. Now, you might be really good at plants. You might be really good at knowing them and discovering them and all kinds of things. I'm not. So in order to find an apple tree, I've got to find out if there's an apple on it. Does that make sense? In order to find out what the tree really is, you need to look to the fruit. It's an obvious truth here that he is pointing out here. A good tree has good fruit. An evil tree is going to have evil fruit. A bad tree has bad fruit. You know by the fruit what kind of tree it is. It's obvious in there. And there's an obvious application that he makes to all of us. He makes to his listeners. He makes to all of us. If I do good works, it's of God. If I do speak good words, it is of God because he saved me, because he changed me. If I do bad, if I do evil, if my words are bad or evil, if they are wrong, it is of Satan. It's of the devil. The Pharisees couldn't even miss it. They couldn't miss what he was talking about here. So just to make sure that he drove the point home, he says to them in verse number 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye? Wow. He says, you'll know what kind of person the person is by what they say, by how they speak, for what comes out of their mouth. And then he kind of says, and you. You want to talk about pointed. You want to talk about bringing it home. You want to talk about making the obvious reference to them. No one could say, are you talking to me? Because they know exactly who he's talking to. And he made sure of it. O generation of vipers. Vipers speaks of the deadly poisonous snakes that were very common in the area. They would just kind of blend into the terrain. You really couldn't see them, and it was too late. Mother viper would lay a large number of eggs, and when these things were hatched, the little killers went everywhere. They just scurried off in every direction possible. And he calls them, "You generation of vipers." The application was obvious. They had poisoned the minds of the Jews with their tradition. They had poisoned the minds of the Jews with their lifting up their rules to the same level as God's word. And because of that, no one recognized the Messiah. Because of that, he wasn't seen. Because of that, he had to tell the people who he was time and time again, because they missed him, because they had elevated their rules to the same place as God's word. In effect, they had made their rules more important than God's word. Wow. And he calls them out on it here. How can you, being evil, speak good things? How can you, being this generation of vipers that you are, speak right things? You can't. It is impossible. Number two, the words of the heart. The words of the heart. He explains it to them in case they didn't understand. They should understand. We should understand. But he explains it to them anyway. He says in verse number 34 again, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things." The mouth speaks what is in the heart. What comes out the mouth is already there in the heart, or it can't come out. It won't be there, is what he's saying. The application he is making here. All your words are words that come from your heart. The word heart here is not the seat of emotions as we use it today in our day and age. We might say, "I love you with all of my heart," and we understand what that means, that seat of emotion. That was not true in Bible times. The heart did not mean that. The heart meant your mind, your intellect, the real you. What's on the inside of you? The mouth speaks what is in the heart. He's talking about your character. Your character. And your words reveal what the heart is like, is what he's saying here. You want a snapshot of the heart? Listen to somebody. Listen to what they say. Listen to what comes out their mouth. That is what their heart is like. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The word abundance there means overflow. Overflow. Eventually, all thoughts will overflow into the mouth. Wow. That's what happens. Now, for illustrative purposes only, when I came out of the hospital a couple years ago, I ended up having to have a little bit of brain surgery. You know, that affects you in some way. I didn't have a filter. That's not a good thing. And what I thought often came out of my mouth very quickly. That's not a good thing. And I would say things and kind of go, "Wow." And I would say things, my wife would kind of go, "Wow." And eventually, she kind of pulled me aside and said, "You know, you don't have to say everything you think." And, you know, I reined that in, and I get that. But, you know, we could rein it in to a certain point. But eventually, what we are on the inside comes out to the outside. It can't help it. It will. That's what Jesus Christ is saying here. For out of the abundance of the heart, the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak, and it will come out. That means if you have a bitter heart, what kind of words are going to come out? Bitter words. If you have a lustful heart, what kind of words are going to come out? Crude words. If you have an angry heart, what kind of words are going to come out? Hurtful words. If you have a loving heart, what kind of words are going to come out? Loving. Now, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, which one of those hearts that we mentioned, there are a thousand more we could talk about, what should our heart be like? You see, when we got saved, we received a new heart. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And we ought to be being changed by the Word of God. Our hearts, our minds are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, and we should speak like Him. Let's try that again. And we should speak like Him. How many of us are there yet? None of us. How many of us have to work on it on a daily basis? We all do. Now listen to me. It is not a matter of controlling your tongue. If the mouth speaks out of the overflow of the heart, it is not a matter of controlling the tongue. It is putting right things in your... Let's try that again, because that wasn't hard. Okay? We want to speak right things out of our mouth. It's not controlling the tongue. It is to make sure we put right things where? In the heart. We're putting right things in the heart. The word treasure here, where he says the treasure of your heart, is a Greek word from where we get our word thesaurus. Interesting. Thesaurus. There's probably no book I use more than my Bible than a thesaurus. How in the world do you think I get all these words to look like they start with the same letter? Okay, I've got a thesaurus app on my phone. I've got at least two thesauruses in my office, and I'm always looking up a thesaurus, looking at it's a treasury of words. Amen. What he's saying here is your heart is a thesaurus. It is a treasury of the thoughts, ambitions, desires, loves, attitudes, and loyalties of your heart. Interesting, and this treasure, this thesaurus, is going to come out. It will come out. Good treasure brings good things. Bad treasure brings bad things. Okay, it will happen. Not so much anymore because it's really kind of known. But back when computers first came out, you'd hear the word GIGO quite a bit. GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into a computer, guess what you're going to get out of it? Garbage. Because the computer doesn't think for itself. Oh yeah, we've made all kinds of strides in artificial intelligence, but a computer still doesn't think for itself. It only thinks what the programmer has put in it. Garbage in, garbage out. That's the heart. That's the real us. We put garbage in, what's coming out? Come on, I want you to say it. We put garbage in, what's coming out? Garbage. It's pretty much that simple. That's why Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the abundance of life. Same terminology that Christ uses here. The abundance the flow. It all comes in, and then it will come out. So if we want good things to come out, what do we have to put in? That's not hard to understand. It's just sometimes hard to do. Why is it hard to do? Because we're stinking, selfish human beings. Can I get an amen to that? I didn't think so, but that's who we are. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. I'll get it. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Paul writes here in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what's that next word? Think. Think on these things. Why? What do I have to think about those? What do I have to get those into our heart, into our head, into our insides, into our character? Because that's what's coming out. That's what's coming out. Garbage in, garbage out, good things in, good things out. So we as believers, we as Christians are to be putting into our heads things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous and praiseworthy. Those are the things we need to think on. Because what we think on, we will do and we certainly will say. That's what Christ said. So we need to guard our hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Work at it. Work at it. Again, it's not controlling the tongue. It is feeding the heart. Feeding the real you. Feeding your insides. Because it will come out. Amen. Now, we've worked at controlling our tongues, and you get to a place of certain maturity, and you can do it pretty well, and we get at it, but we can't rely on that, because what we dwell on is going to come out. What we think about is going to come out. So he said, in order to make the fruit good, those are the words, the tree has to be right, the heart. The tree has to be right, the heart. Now, without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's an impossible task. Without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot have a good heart. You cannot have a right heart. It begins with trusting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Oh, I'm not saying you cannot be a good moral person. You can be. But you're a sinner headed for hell. And that will come out in your life in certain areas. There's no question about it. You begin by trusting Christ as Savior. You begin by realizing I'm a sinner. I can't earn my way to heaven. I don't deserve to go there. But Christ died in my place. And I accept what he did. And you're saved. God, I repent of my sin. I place my faith in Christ to take me to heaven. And it's a done deal. Amen. Not based on what we do, not even based on what we say, but based on what Jesus Christ did, what God sent him to do, and he accomplished on the cross that we might be saved. Amen. And when we pray that prayer, when we ask Christ to save us, oh, it's not some prayer that can be repeated in your sleep and you get saved. It is the heart calling out to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when we do that, we get a new heart, a changed heart, a whole heart, a different heart. But we start feeding it all over again. Does that make sense? We start feeding that heart. And if we put garbage in it, guess what's going to come out? Garbage. So we got to make sure what we put in it is true and honest and just and pure and lovely, praiseworthy, virtuous. And there's only one place we're finding that stuff. It's in this book. You and I, we cannot get too much of the Bible. Amen. Can't do it. Can't do it. You've heard the dumb statement that people have said for years, you know, that person is too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. Okay, that's nonsense. Most of Christianity is too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. We need to make sure we're filling our heads with the Word of God. Amen. Because it's not a matter of guarding your tongue, watching your actions. It's a matter of what we feed the heart. Amen. Now, I got a glass of water sitting here. It's filthy, dirty. Okay, it's got all kinds of garbage in it. And you can see that just by looking at it because it's in a glass container. You know what I'm talking about? How many want to drink that? Nobody. So what I start doing is I get a pitcher and I start pouring clean water in there. And as I pour clean water in there, some of the nonsense, the garbage will come out. Will it not? As it overflows and comes out. Will I ever get to the point, will I ever pour enough in there, you say, that's enough, I'll drink it now? No. You won't drink it until I go and wash it. That's salvation. You've been washed. You've been cleaned. And you're whole in God's sight. There's your glass. What you gonna fill it with? That's now your life. What are you gonna fill it with? True, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, of good report. And that's what will come out in our mouth and in our lives. Amen. He's given us a word picture. He told us that they are words from the heart. Thirdly, a word of warning. A word of warning. Verse number 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. A word of warning. There's going to be a judgment day. And we will give an account for the words that we speak. Why? Because they are an accurate gauge of the heart. He said they show what's inside. They show the real you. And your words will demonstrate who you are. Wow. When he uses the word justified and condemned there, he doesn't mean that you're saved by speaking right or you're lost because you speak wrong. He's saying what you are is revealed by what you say. Does that make sense? Your words will reveal whether you've been saved, justified. Your words will reveal whether or not you're still under condemnation because you've never trusted Christ as Savior. It will come out. Wow. The lost, their words will reveal their evil hearts. The saved, their words will reveal their relationship with Christ. How are we doing on that? I don't mean can you control your tongue. I mean, what you've been pouring in the glass of your life, what you've been feeding your heart. Do you remember Peter? Shake your heads, make me feel better. He was an apostle. Remember Peter? Peter had a hard time controlling his tongue. Okay? He just said things. Now, there was a time when Peter was there and Jesus Christ was arrested. And he'd already been told by Jesus Christ, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter said, oh, no, not me. Everybody else might. I won't. I never will. And then he does. Someone comes up to Peter and says, you were one of his disciples, weren't you? And Peter says, no, I'm not. Second time, Peter, you were one of his disciples. We saw you with him. Even your speech betrays you. No, no, not me. They came back a third time. What does he do to prove he's not saved? He curses. He swears. He allows profanity to come out of his mouth to prove to them he's not a follower of Jesus Christ. And somehow we think we can use wrong words and prove we are. Now, there is a judgment day coming. Amen. James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. Book of James looks back at salvation. As James says, faith without works is dead. He's looking back at salvation saying, works show you are saved. Just like Jesus Christ said, words show you are saved. James says, works show you are saved. That's what he said. He's not saying you got to work to be saved. Because we know you don't work to be saved. Period. You trust Christ as your personal Savior. But then again, what's in your heart comes out in your words and comes out in your life. In James chapter number 3, verse number 10, he's talking about guarding that tongue, guarding our hearts. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. He said, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. And if we want to make sure that we are speaking right, that we are showing the world we're right with God, that we're saved, that we're believers, that we're Christians, then we ought to be speaking right all of the time. Amen. And our prayer on a daily basis should be that of David's in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my heart, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Wow. We should be different because we are different. What are you pouring into your life? What are you pouring into your life? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's our job to be pouring the good things of the Word of God into our hearts every single day. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for saving us. Lord, if there's anyone in here who's not been saved, show them they need to be saved. None of this is even possible without trusting Christ as Savior and getting that new heart. Lord, I pray you'd work in all of our lives. Those of us who are saved, help us to realize what we do makes a difference every day. What we pour in makes a difference every day. Help us, Lord, to get that, understand it, and to determine we can't get enough of the Word of God. We can't hear enough. We can't read enough. We can't get enough. We've got to keep pouring it into our lives. Guide and direct us now as we make decisions. We again pray that if there's anyone here who's unsaved, you'd show them their need clearly. Help them, Lord, to see they need a new heart. And that only comes through Christ, through repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. Bless now in the decisions we make. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, you say, Pastor, I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have that new heart. I know I'm going to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm saved. Put your hand up as a testimony of that fact. You're saved and you know it. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. That's great. Amen. 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 You've got a new heart. What are you filling it with? There's the question. What are you filling it with? Good things? Things of the Word? Things of Christ? That will be evident. Bad things? Evil things? Worthless things? That will be evident as well. You say, Pastor, God's spoken to me, and I want to make sure that I'm filling my heart, my mind, my life with good things, right things, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, those things. Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me. Anyone like that, just put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You don't know you're going to heaven. You don't know your sins are forgiven. You don't know Christ. Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. We want to pray for you. We love you. Christ loves you. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyone at all? Our Father, I pray that you'd bless now in the decisions that every one of us make. Lord, what you said to us today is so clear, so plain, that we should understand it and make decisions based on what you said. Guide, direct, and bless, and draw us to you, and help us determine we're going to do right with this for your sake. Bless now as we make decisions. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand, grab a hymn book right in front of you, and stand and get ready to sing. As we sing this first verse of the invitation, we invite you to respond. If you need to talk to God, do it. You need to come down the front and just kneel and pour your heart out to God, you do that. If you need to speak to me, I'll be waiting for you right down front. You do that. Come talk to me. If you need to be saved, don't put that decision off. Trust Christ today. Verse number one, as we sing, you come.